So I'm not sure what our talker tonight's going to talk about exactly, but I know I'm going to love every word from our Linda Pallas. To think that the universe was conspiring to keep me from getting here tonight. I ended up having to go down to my mom's ranch, and anybody who knows, she's in Baja, like a few miles before Valle de Guadalupe. I was supposed to go yesterday, but the guy who was going to give me a ride couldn't do it till today. So off we went, and it seems like everything that could have possibly gotten in the way did. They were doing construction on 94 and had it shut off for a while. They had a border checkpoint that was lengthy today, going the other way instead of the opposite. And then we had to go all the way to Ensenada to pay our electric bill. And I'm looking at the clock, we're in Ensenada and it's about 4:30, and I'm like, I'm going to have faith that I'm going to be here in time to speak. That's all I can do. I got to turn it over to God. Looking at the clock, and I refused to look at the clock. I thought that was just going to make me crazy. Also along the way, we encountered it's like out in the middle of nowhere, by the Guadalupe, it's a two-lane highway. And all of a sudden, we were stopped for a procession of all these nuns carrying the Virgin Mary on a statue. And I guess they do this every year at that day. And at first I was like, what, today? And then I thought, Linda, step back from your own personal things and think about what a wonderful thing this is for these people who believe and feel so strongly that they carry a statue out in the middle of nowhere where no one can see them to pay homage to, you know, the Virgin Mary. And that was just in itself gave me pause to reflect. And so then we bypassed them, finally made it back, dropped my mother off, and started to get dark, and just started to head back. And again, it was just one of those, I don't know if anybody's been on Highway 94, but it's only two lanes, and it's just, all it takes is just one slow vehicle. But anyway, I made it here in time, and so that's just further proof that I'm supposed to be here speaking to you all. And actually, and I've been very excited about doing this, because anyone who's been to this church or has ever attended any of Millie's classes knows that it's one of the most loving, safest sanctuaries that you can ever be. And you're just surrounded by people who just want to root for you. And even if you make mistakes, we have to remember, it's okay. We're all flawed. If we were perfect, we probably wouldn't be here. And I know that it took me several road bumps where I would embrace it, and then I would step back and want proof. And there were so many different paths that got me to the point of where I am now. When I was a child, I was raised Catholic. And it was funny that it was instilled upon me that God was everywhere. And I still remember this in catechism, that he was in the rocks, the mountains, the flowers, everywhere. And I could see that as a child. But what I couldn't understand why all the adults around me were telling me and sharing all this with me, but they weren't walking the walk. And there was points in my life when I was a kid, my mom was divorced at 3 with 6 kids, that we went through some really hard times. There was times where I went through some abuse. I won't go into it, but it wasn't good, and that really rocked my faith in God. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a big animal lover. One of the reasons was I felt they're the only ones who gave me unconditional love and accepted me no matter what. And as I got older, I had all these emotional issues, and I just felt that I was damaged goods. I had been married, and when I was about 21, I had a child and lost her to crib death. And in that, within a few months, my world was really rocked because a cousin that was a month older than me was killed by her husband. And another cousin of mine, also close in age, shot himself because he was arguing with his wife on the phone. And then a few months after that, actually a year later, my other cousin died suddenly. He was 21, and all of a sudden he just had heart failure. He'd been out drinking with my cousins who were heart partiers, but nobody knew he had a weak heart. And the next day he was really sick, and this was in Valle de las Palmas, and it was quite a ways to the hospital, and he didn't make it. So I was really shaken to the core about why God allowed all these things to happen to young people. It was really strange because we had all these older people, and it was all the young ones that were leaving us left and right. And I was angry, and I just thought God was playing a cruel joke. But it's like, it made me also want to be more of a seeker of where I wanted to find the truth. I wanted to know where my daughter was. I needed to find out that she was safe somewhere. I couldn't just think that it was just over when you leave the body. And there was times where I felt so despondent that I really thought I wanted to commit suicide. But what kept me going was, what if it's true? And if I do this, I won't be reunited with my daughter. And it took me a long time, but little by little, I would get, things would happen. People have been placed in my life. They've been placed in my life at times where I just didn't think anybody cared. And through their kindnesses and their love, gave me faith. And it's not a, and that was such a gift to me. It was just such a gift. And there was times where I still would stumble. I went through a time where I wanted to be, like Pink Floyd said, comfortably numb. So I would just, I was the biggest pothead you ever knew. I would just put myself into almost a coma. But I remember coming to this church even, and holding Millie's hand on the way out. And she said, there's someone with an owl and with drugs. And I was like, oh my God, she knows. Oh God, no, but she knows what it's done. She didn't, but you know, in your head, you think, and they're psychic, she's got to know. But it just took, it, I didn't quit right away, but it was soon, within a year after that, I stopped. I stopped because I realized that the reason I was doing it was I was postponing things. And the more older I get, the more we realize we don't have that much time and it goes by fast. And I wanted to be a clear instrument. And throughout the years, even as a child, I have always had things come to me, and we all have this gift. And it's in the Bible, and as Millie says, that we all have the gift of prophecy. We have our gut instinct. We know when something isn't right. We just know it. And you can't really tell somebody why, but you just know it. And I knew that I was, we all have a purpose. We all have this purpose in life. And I always knew since I was young that mine was a big purpose. And I had not too much time to keep going forward and finding it. I'm not even quite sure what it is. It's still evolving and unfolding as I go. But I know one of them has been to, in my life, I've saved countless cats and dogs. And they also were placed in my life at times where I hit some real lows. And I felt that they distracted me from my own life. And this is like when I lived in Mission Hills in the early 90s, somebody just dumped a cat, and then she had kittens under my house, and I took those in, and then she had more, and they kept having more. So I ended up, some friends taught me the fine art of trapping and getting them spayed and neutered and getting them into homes. And I also still have 7 cats I'm trying to find homes for, so you know, if anybody cares to have a senior cat, just you know where to find me. Also, my mom and me have had the rockiest of relationships over the years. And I spent a few years where I did not even talk to her. She just pushed certain boundaries and asked things that I couldn't cross. My stepdad, unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, but he used to be an alcoholic. And he used to threaten her and my younger brother, who's mentally challenged, with a gun. So she gave it to me to get out of the house. And she also asked me to help her with a divorce, which I did, and everything was going to go through. But then she got back with him. And then she wanted me to give her the gun back. And she would leave me menacing, you know, if I ever loved her as a mother, please return the gun. And if she heard me talking right now, she'd probably shoot me with it. But I didn't. And she said if I didn't give it back, that I did not love her as a mother. But she didn't realize, because I loved her and I didn't want her or my brother coming to harm, I would not give it back. So for many years, we did not speak. And finally, I had to talk to her because I knew she was getting older, and if something happened to her, it would bother me that I didn't reach out and speak to her. So I did, and it was rather odd, but we just went on like nothing really happened in between all those years. It was easier than talking about it. Then my stepdad passed away a couple years ago. And out of all the kids, and I've always been the one to just want to be in the comfort of my home, and I have my little routines, and I don't like them to be messed with. Well, all my comfort zones have gone out the window, and I've had to be put in this position where I'm going across the border on a daily basis to help her out and my younger brother, and sometimes I go alone. I've been fortunate lately because I have had a friend step up and go with me, and it's helped tremendously, and he's another godsend to me. And it's like, I don't think a few years back that I would have had the mental strength and the faith to keep doing this, because it's just a whole different country over there. And she too has like 14 dogs and 4 cats, and I also have to find them homes before I can bring her back completely. And I also want to bring into this point, it's like, my mother, I think, is really one of those things that I'm constantly being tested with, about tolerance and patience and love, like Corinthians. They say if you really love someone, you can accept them. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to take any abuse, but you can accept them and pray for them. And I constantly turn them over to God. She's always making references about how hypocritical churches are, and I know she's the little jabs at me, but I also feel bad that she can't feel the love and just the sanctuary of like a group from our church family is. I can't begin to tell you how many times over the years different members of this church have helped me out spiritually. There's been times of financial crisis that they've come through, and it just makes me want to be a better person and be out there for somebody, and hopefully I can help them that way. I also know that at Christmas time it used to put so much pressure on me, because I felt like we're in a society that we're bombarded with commercials. It's all about the gifts and diamonds, and if you really love her, you give her this or that, and it's gotten so way out of control that it used to stress me out, because I used to think, oh, I don't know if I could afford this or that, and they're going to think I don't care if I don't give them a gift. And then I thought, boy, I had to step back and think, how did we get so removed from what the whole purpose of Christmas was, to the point where some places don't want you to even say Christmas. They want to just call it a holiday. And I just, it's Christmas, it's Jesus' birthday. The whole thing about the gifts was the three kings that were bearing gifts to bring to the baby Jesus. And you can give in so many different ways. You can give of yourself besides money. And I'm hitting a spot here. And we can just, in my case, and we can enjoy this moment now. It's called, it's the present, and it's called a present for a reason. Sometimes we try to get too far ahead of ourselves, and then other times we're looking back. But if you know that if you drive in a car and you're always looking in the rear of your mirror, you're going to hit something. So, one of the things I'm constantly working on is just being in the moment, getting out of my own way, and trying to be tolerant and to be more kind to total strangers, and especially if they're being rude to me, to be really kind to them. And it actually works. And this woman here, as you all know, is just such a wonderful spiritual leader. I probably would have crossed paths with her so much earlier in my life, but I resisted it because I have always come into contact with people who knew of her or knew of her, of Adele. She was a spiritual leader that did the table tipping. Yes. And I just fought it because I thought, oh my God, if I go into some place like that, I always felt in the past when I was younger that, you know, you don't even hear this term anymore, that they were either Jesus freaks, they were going to try to convert you into some zealot, and I just wasn't ready for it. But I know that when I walked into this church and heard Millie speak for the first time, and the word that really tugged at my heart was when she said, come back when your heart feels like it. I was just so blown away that somebody actually said, when your heart feels like it. Not that you're going to go to hell if you don't come to church, you know, and you're going to have to do penance and wear a hair shirt anyway, but you got to show up to church and you'll have some leeway. And it just, coming here was coming home. It was everything that I always felt it should be and that I felt when I was a child and was first taught about God, that He is everywhere. And as they always say here, watch your thoughts, watch your words, and watch your actions. I feel that one of the things that used to always bring me down was everything that I couldn't do instead of opposed to the things I can do. It's kind of that old, the glass is half full or half empty. It's how you look at it. But how can you not look at it as half full when you have so many opportunities in this world to do so much? I mean, now I realize there's so many things I don't know. I don't know about all the bird breeds. I don't know where do they sleep at night or where do they go or how long their lifespan is. I mean, that's just one little thing in this immense universe that there's so much to know about if we just allow ourselves. And it's like, as a world, especially at this time of the season, we should all be conscious that what affects one affects us all. It's the ripple effect. The people in Iraq, I know that it would be so easy to just dislike the people there because we're at war with them, but we're all God's children. He doesn't love one more than the other. He gave us this wonderful gift of free will to choose our actions in life. And some of them may not be good, but again, He allowed us that choice to make, whether they're right or wrong. Of course, He would rather see us do the right ones. But hopefully, as in my case, I feel I've learned so much from the errors in my life and have grown from them and don't want to go back. I just want to go forward. As Millie always says, we're here to raise our love volume. And one of my favorite things she always says, do you know who loves you? Who do you love? And I always have to hold myself, because I want to start singing George Thorogood, you know, Who Do You Love? But anyway, that's another story. But it's so true. Who do you love and who loves you? Because when we leave this earth, the only thing we leave here is the love that we've shared with others. And over time, I've always been surprised by stories that I've gotten from people about something I don't even remember I did years ago. And again, it just goes to show you how you could do one little thing and affect somebody and not even realize it. So just think, if you really try to do something for someone, or just wish, right now we need world peace. Just keep envisioning and praying for it. And if enough energy goes out there, it could be done. If everybody for one moment just took the moment to just, in their hearts of hearts, send love to everyone, especially those who have no love in their heart. Again, like I said, I've been through so many things in my life, and the only thing that scares me more is not to have felt any of them. I think that's the tragedy if you're numb. Because even if you feel sadness or grief, you're feeling it. And it too will pass, and having faith in God will help you let it pass. And you also know that while we're here, if you open the book, and it's in so many prayers about eternal life, that when we leave here, just because we leave the body, the soul is eternal. And I am always surprised by so many people who think it's over when it's over, because the body is being left behind. It just goes on and on. And I have a lot of questions for God, and I, for one, am looking forward to finding out. And I know that even when we cross, we probably won't get all of them, but while we're here, I'm open to soaking up as much as I can. And I really want to thank everybody here for listening to me. Like I said, this was my first time, and hopefully I'll be able to come back. I really like it. And again, I was just thrown off a bit, but it just goes to show you that you can have all these obstacles and overcome them, be here, and talk. And again, remember to love everybody just love each other and send each other love, because it's just so easy to do the opposite. But it's also really easy to love. And if you got to know any of these people here, you would find them easy to love. As Millie always says, don't miss them, because they're a gift. They're a joy, and there's so many people I might have overlooked otherwise. Right? And I hope all of you have a very nice holiday and enjoy each other.
The sweetest thing. Isn't she just sweet, Dennis? Oh my. Now, you saw just a little taste of her, but I tell you, she's just a doll baby.